Welcome to Hubert Ayi's Prophetic Teaching Podcast. Hubert Ayi is a principled preacher, a character builder, and has deep revelation knowledge in the Word of God. His mandate is to impact the entire generation for excellence through revelation and holiness. Stay tuned for more insight.
We thank you tonight. Have your own way. Touch my tongue with a coals of fire. Let me not say anything of my mind, only that which you have quickened in my spirit. I decrease. Let only Jesus be seen. Let your will be done tonight. Let grace be seen. Let faith be seen. Transform our lives. Bring us to the place of your will and your purpose. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No evil will come near our dwelling place. No bad news will come near us. Only the will of God and the counsel of God will stand in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. The man that we know of, a gentleman, decided to go on a journey. He travels, leaves his wife and his two children, and he travels outside the country for over 20 years. He stays outside the country for 20 good years. And whilst he was there, he was planning on what to come and do for his wife and his two kids. And he decided to buy so many things for them. And he bought and bought and bought and bought. He arrived right there at the airport, and here is the wife and the two kids far off. The man is holding his luggages full of gifts and full of blessings, and then he carries it and he sees them coming. He's full of joy. He's happy. He has seen the wife he has left for 20 years, the children he has left for 20 good years. And whilst they saw him, they were also excited. And then whilst they were coming, he was coming, they started looking at each other, looking for an embrace. All of a sudden, when they came very close and they were just right in front of each other, the man decided to drop the luggages he's holding to embrace his wife and his children. All of a sudden, the wife left his face and went for the left bag. The children also left him and went for the left bag. And they began to search inside and they say, "Daddy, what did you bring to us?" The man's heart was broken. Because he said, after 20 years of being away, and the only thing you are thinking about is what I brought for you, and not that I was alive and I've come. This picture, as powerful as it is, as sad as it is a picture that I want you to look at in respect to God, in respect to our Maker. Our Maker is in heaven. And our Maker is so much interested in seeing you. Our Maker is so much interested in embracing you and to have a relationship with you. A relationship of embrace, a relationship of love, a relationship of intimacy, of knowing you and you knowing our Maker. But the only thing that we are interested in is the luggage our Maker is bringing, is the gift our Maker is bringing. We are not so much interested in our Maker. We are interested in the things our Maker will give us. We are not so much interested in the Creator, but we are so much interested in the creation, the things He has created. And the Maker, as this gentleman is broken. The heart is broken and is looking upon humanity. And he said, "So all that you see me to be is what you can get from me and not who I am." We have come to a dispensation and an era that a lot of us are in church for the wrong motives. We have come to church and we believe God and we have come to trust God. The Bible says that in the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 25, "And which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit?" Which of you can add anything to yourself? "And if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest?" Our thoughts have been filled with the things that can add to our life. Our thoughts are filled with things that we can actually get from God. Ladies and gentlemen, understand that our faith must be in God and not the things He gives us. It is not that God is not powerful enough to give to you. Because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ever ask or think of. So as a balance, God is interested in giving to you. But God is more interested in your faith in him more than the things. There's a difference between I have faith in God and I have faith in the things. There are people that believe in the things of God, but they don't believe in God. So now their faith is moved by things, so that when there are no things, then there is no faith. But if our faith is in God, whether there are things or there are no things, our faith is unchangeable. Our God is a king, and we must have faith in the king more than the gifts of the king. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Then he said, all other things shall be added. So when it comes to the addition of things, there is a procedure for the addition of things, which is, if I seek the kingdom first, if I seek God first, then automatically this thing shall be added unto me. This equation cannot be broken. It's an equation that cannot be broken. It does not fail. We have left the seeking of the kingdom, and we are seeking the additions. And that is why we have come to a place of frustration. That's why we are desperate. That's why we are at the edge of giving up. Because our faith was in the things. So because we didn't get the things, then it means that we are useless. It means that there is no God. We are calculating how much God is with us, with the things that he can give us. But a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he has or own. The things you have does not show that God is with you. The things you don't have does not show that God is with you. What makes God be with you is your unshakable faith, your unmovable faith, your unstoppable faith, your stubborn faith. I'm not in God because of what he gives. I'm in God because he is God.
Yes.
The book of John chapter 6 verse 24 to 26. They said, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also, they took shipping and came to Capernaum. And what they were? They were seeking
Jesus.
And when they had found him whom they were seeking for, on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, it's a sure matter. What I'm saying, I'm not doubting. It is not something off my head. I know your heart. I know your thoughts. And Jesus said, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and you were filled. You are seeking for Jesus. But you have a motive for seeking for Jesus. You are not seeking me because I am Jesus. You are seeking me because you can get to eat. Your motive for following is that I'll get something from you. We are following God because we will get salary from him. We are following God because we'll get husband from God. We are following God because we'll get a wife from God. We are following God because we'll get twins from God. We are following God because we'll get a visa from God. We are following God because we'll get anointing from God. We are following God because we'll get prophetic gift from God. We are following God because we'll get to eat, we'll get to drink, and we'll be filled. So our motive is not because of Jesus, but because he multiplied the bread and we had some to eat. We are following God because of the food we get to eat. So the day Jesus does not multiply the bread, and the day that he does not give us water to drink, then that means that he is a wicked Jesus. We must look for the sign. We must look for answer by force. If Jesus doesn't give us what we want, then we have to stop this thing called Christianity. We have to stop this thing called church. That is our faith. How low is our faith? Our faith is in things. Our faith is in temporal things. Our faith is not in the eternal things of God, the things that last forever. And it's sad to see a generation, a whole generation, that their mind is only on what God can give them and not the God they have. So they are in search, but they name it Jesus, but it's not Jesus. They are seeking, but they are not seeking for Jesus. They are moving around, they are seeking for things. They are going down to places. They are looking for things and they are not looking for God. Isaiah chapter 31, 1 to 3. It's a woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and they stay on horses, and they trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. They go down to Egypt. They go down to Egypt because they found no solace in Jerusalem anymore. They found no help in Israel anymore. They have changed their identity. They have changed who they are. They don't call themselves Christians at their workplace anymore. They say because now everybody's talking about church, they're talking about pastors. So they have decided that anytime they're doing that, they have no place with the church. They've changed their allegiance. They are no more an ally to God, because now it looks like the church is in trouble. And many of the Christians, they like comfort. Where there is comfort, they'll run. Where it looks like the place is shaky, they don't want to stay there. They want a place where they'll be pampered, not a place that they'll be quickened. Let's go down to Egypt. Why? Because they have horses and chariots, and there's a lot to eat there. There's a lot to get over there. Where we are, it looks like nothing is happening. Where we are, we stayed in this Christianity for a long time. It looks like nothing is happening. It looks like the prophecy they gave me is not coming to pass. It looks like God doesn't mind me anymore. It looks like God doesn't answer my prayer anymore. So let me go and find something in Egypt. Woe unto them. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt. And they go in search of horses and chariots because they are many. They are horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither did they seek the Lord. Verse 2. Yet he also is wise, and he will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Verse 3. Now the Egyptians, they are men and not God. They are men. They are not God. The place you are running to, they are men. They are not God. The people you are depending on, they are men. They are not God. Please understand, the person that you think will give you the money, that person is a man. He can fail you. He can disappoint you. He can change his mind.
Yes.
The woman you love more than God, that woman can break your heart. That man you love more than the things of God, that man can have another woman. They are men and they are not God. Since when did you replace God with a man in your heart? Since when did you replace the voice of God with the voice of men? And when you check those people, look at where they came from. Who lifted them up? Who raised them up? Was it not God that lifted them? And now they have become a God in your life. Check your life. Who do you believe in? Is it God or men? They are men. They are not God. And their horses are flesh. They are not spirit. The horses you are depending on, the thing you think they have, which is making them run fast, they are flesh. They don't have the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
They are not spirit. They are flesh. They are flesh. Where's your faith? Ah, how do you get to a place where a man controls your life? Where a man controls your decision whether to go to church or not? How do you allow a man to decide when you eat and when you will not eat? How do you decide a man who decide whether you should be blessed by God or not be blessed by God? You are here and you are listening to men. Men should tell you that today we are not coming to church. And so you too, you shouldn't come to church because they are your God. They have become your God. And you have abandoned God in the heavens. Your family members are determining when you should marry and when you should not marry. They are men. People are looking at you and saying that nothing good can come out of you. They are men.
They are not God.
They are not God. Nobody has your destiny in their hand. There is no human being that has your future in their hand. It is God and nothing else.
Oh yes.
Their horses are flesh. They are not spirit. And not spirit. And when the Lord will stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helping shall fall. That means that the person will advise you, you and the person, the two of you will fall. The shrine that helped you, you and the shrine, you will fall. When the Lord stretch his hand, the person you listen to and you lost your position and you lost your integrity and you lost your faith in God, you and that person, when the Lord stretched his hand, he said, the two of you are going down. And he that is helping shall fall, and they shall fall together. Because you abandoned God and chose man. A man tells you what to do, Jesus. A man tells you whether you should come to church or not. And it's a man that tells you that people hate you in the church. A man tells you that people hate you. And you are walking in the church, people hate me. Even the people that hate you, are they God? Your family members that hate you, are they God? The person who at your workplace is trying to bring you down, are they God? The Egyptians, they are men. They are not God. I love Psalm 20 verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord God, our God. We shall remember the name of the Lord God, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, they shall run into it, and they shall be saved. There is no other name by which men ought to be saved, by the name of Jesus Christ. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus, he is Lord. He is Lord. That Jesus is Lord. Our faith is not in things. So whether I get it now or I get it tomorrow, it does not change my faith in God. Neither does it change my faith in church.
That's right.
No. I come to meet God. He said, come, let us reason together. I come to God. He said, come boldly in my presence. I come because of God. You can look at me with an eye, but you are not the reason I am here. You can eye me with one eye, but you are not the reason I'm here. I am like Hannah. I know why I'm here. I'm looking for a baby. So I know you are a man. So I'm not coming to you. I'll bypass the priest. And I'll go before the altar. Lord, you are the reason I'm here. I'm not here because of haters. I'm not here because of lovers. I'm not here to marry. If you give it to me, that's bonus. I'm not here for a car. But if you give me a car, it's bonus. I'm not here for a business. But if you give me a business, it's bonus. I'm not here to travel. But if you give me travel, is bonus. I'm not yet to be a pastor, but if you give it to me, is bonus. Lord, I want to tell you why I'm here. You saved me when I was nothing, when I was nobody. You called me out of the gutter, out of shame, out of poverty, and you saved me. You cleansed me, you washed me, you forgive me all my sins, and you brought me before your throne, before your altar, and you said,
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creator. All things are past and gone. Everything has become new. Because of that, I was going to hell, but you saved me. You saved me. Yesterday, I was in the club, but today, I am in church. Yesterday, I was sinning, but today, by the righteousness that is in Christ, I am here. What else can I do? What else? I remember where I'm coming from. I remember where you picked me from, and where I am today. I thank you. Because of that, I walk to church. I come to church to praise my God, to thank God, and to ask him, my Father, what should I do? Where should I go? Who should I marry? What job should I do? And whatever he tells me, that is what I do. That is why I'm here. Not your gossip, not your backbiting, not your hatred. It's over the bar. It's out of coverage area. I don't hate you. You are not worth my time. I will not hate you. I have too much love for the things of God to waste my time. Whether you like me or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matter to me? That God loves me. God loves me. Once I was a sinner, he died for me. Once I was a nobody, he picked me up. That's all I want. That's why I praise him. That's why I shout. My faith is in the God who saved me. Oh Lord, you are healer. The man you healed has come to worship you. Savior, the man you saved has come to worship you. You are a deliverer.
Oh, yes.
The man you delivered has come to worship you. You are the reason. You are the reason why I lift my hands. You are the reason why I sing the song I sing. You are the reason I jump the way I jump. You are the reason I throw my leg the way I throw my leg. My faith.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Thank you for your miracles, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies.